of a cottage which was seen romantically situated among wood on a high eminence at some little distance.
"Does not that promise to be the very place?"
His wife fervently hoped it was, but stood, terrified and anxious, neither able to do or suggest anything, and receiving her first real comfort from the sight of several persons now coming to their assistance. The accident had been discerned from a hayfield adjoining the house they had passed, and the persons who approached were a well-looking, hale, gentlemanlike man of middle age, the proprietor of the place, who happened to be among his haymakers at the time, and three or four of the ablest of them summoned to attend their master, to say nothing of all the rest of the field, men, women, and children, not very far off. Mr. Haywood, such was the name of the said proprietor, advanced with a very civil salutation, much concern for the accident, some surprise at anybody's attempting that road in a carriage, and ready offers of assistance. His courtesies were received with good breeding and gratitude, and while one or two of the men lent their help to the driver in getting the carriage upright again, the traveller said,
"You are extremely obliging, sir, and I take you at your word. The injury to my leg is, I dare say, very trifling, but it is always best in these cases, you know, to have a surgeon's opinion without loss of time. And as the road does not seem in a favourable state for my getting up to his house myself, I will thank you to send off one of these good people for the surgeon."
"The surgeon!" exclaimed Mr. Haywood. "I'm afraid you will find no surgeon at hand here, but I dare say we shall do very well without him."
"Nay, sir, if he is not in the way, his partner will do just as well, or rather better. I would rather see his partner. Indeed, I would prefer the attendance of his partner. One of these good people can be with him in 3 minutes, I am sure. I need not ask whether I see the house," looking toward the cottage, "for, excepting your own, we have passed none in this place which can be the abode of a gentleman."
Mr. Haywood looked very much astonished.
"What, sir, are you expecting to find a surgeon in that cottage?
We have neither surgeon nor partner in the parish, I assure you."
"Excuse me, sir," replied the other. "I am sorry to have the appearance of contradicting you, but from the extent of the parish or some other cause, you may not be aware of the fact. Stay, can I be mistaken in the place? Am I not in Willingdon? Is not this Willingdon?"
"Yes, sir, this is certainly Willingdon."
"Then, sir, I can bring proof of your having a surgeon in the parish, whether you may know it or not. Here, sir," taking out his pocket-book, "if you will do me the favour of casting your eye over these advertisements, which I cut out myself from the Morning Post and the Kentish Gazette only yesterday morning in London, I think you will be convinced that I am not speaking at random. You will find in it an advertisement of the dissolution of a partnership in the medical line in your own parish. Extensive business, undeniable character, respectable references, wishing to form a separate establishment. You will find it at full length, sir," offering the two little oblong extracts.
"Sir, if you were to show me all the newspapers that are printed in 1 week throughout the kingdom, you would not persuade me of there being a surgeon in Willingdon," said Mr. Haywood, with a good-humoured smile. "Having lived here ever since I was born, man and boy, 57 years, I think I must have known of such a person. At least I may venture to say that he has not much business. To be sure, if gentlemen were to be often attempting this lane in post-chaises, it might not be a bad speculation for a surgeon to get a house at the top of the hill. But as to that cottage, I can assure you, sir, that is, in fact, in spite of its spruce air at this distance, as indifferent a double tenement as any in the parish, and that my shepherd lives at one end and three old women at the other."
He took the pieces of paper as he spoke, and having looked them over,